But I think we have a very poor understanding a lot of the time of what love is and of what hope is and of what, you know, positivity in its best sense actually can be. You know, when I talk about hope, I often define hope as the willingness to live in a story that is not yet complete.
Hey, beautiful. This is Aminata Soul Plant Walker Firewoman, and I am the host of the Mother Tree Network, where spirituality and earth wisdom meet racial justice and women's leadership. Hey, beautiful one. It is my pleasure to introduce this conversation that I had with Laura Hartley, an Australian. We had a deep and vulnerable conversation about acceptance as a pathway for our personal transformation and for collective liberation. You know, acceptance is not giving up. And that's why I really wanted to talk with Laura, because she had sent an email out and where she described a third path. There's like resignation, there's fighting. And she said this third path of acceptance offers the most opportunity for transformation. It's almost as if your energy shifts when you're in acceptance. And so you see things that you didn't see before, and you have a way to be in the space without adding reactivity to it. And then from that space of neutrality, of equanimity, sounding very Buddhist here, of just being grounded in your breath and in your body, you start to see where you can make a difference, where you can be authentic in the moment. So one of the things that Laura says that I love is she says, remember that your story is not yet complete. So if you're feeling any despair about the state of the world or about what's going on in your personal circles, remember your story is not complete. It is unfolding. And as you evolve, as you build your capacity, the story changes. So if you like this episode, and I think you will, please give us some stars. Send it to a friend, someone who's on the verge of burnout or who's maybe feeling a little angsty about, quote, not doing enough. This is an episode dedicated to those of us who really struggle with how much is enough. How much is enough? And I'm right there with you. One of the things that I've learned from the trees on my land is that what is enough is not an external measure. There's not somebody out there who can tell you what enough is. Enoughness comes from the inside. And if you want to tap into what that enoughness is for you, I recommend you get our Ancestor's Guide to Healing and Liberation. Because when you start working with your ancestors, including your tree ancestors and non-biological loved ones, spiritual guides, artists, you will tap into the wisdom that is beyond our current paradigm, which is so extractive. You know, even those of us who work for social change or nonprofit circles, we are working in an extractive system even there. So working with our ancestors gives us a way to root into a different paradigm, into a different dimension of reality, and to bring that into our everyday lives. So I hope that you will get your Ancestor's Guide for Healing and Liberation. It's on my website, dramandakemp.com. Just go to the tab that says free, and you will find a lot of free resources there, including this Ancestor's Guide for Healing and Liberation. So without further ado, let's go in and talk to Laura Hartley. Hello, everyone. It is Aminata here, and our special guest today is Laura Hartley. Welcome, Laura.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. I am so honored to be here and very excited.
I am honored to have you here. And Laura, one of the things that made me want to have you on the show, well, first of all, let me just say
why don't I give you a moment to say who you are? I know that you talk a lot about anti-capitalism and sourcing ourselves from outside of supremacy structures, but how would you describe yourselves to our listeners?
Oh, gosh, I love this question. I'm a life and leadership coach, and I help changemakers and climate leaders to navigate transitions of our lives.
One of the things that attracted me to you, Laura, was an email that you sent out where you talked about resisting, complying, and you said there's a third way, and you said the third way was acceptance. So I would really love to hear more of your perspective about acceptance. And for those of you who don't know Laura and can't see her, she's a relatively young looking woman. So I really love the wisdom in that email, because acceptance seems to be something that we come upon after we've beaten our head against the wall for a long time.
So I'll speak to my own personal situation and, you know, where this was born from. Mm-hmm. You know, in my family, there was a lot of tension and conflict that had been very longstanding. Mm-hmm. And that was born out of certain codependent relationships. That was mm-hmm. born out of a feeling of not belonging, mm-hmm. that, you know, I didn't quite fit in, mm-hmm. you know, and I wanted that to change. You know, I wanted to feel like I belonged. I wanted to feel like I wanted the fights to end, and I wanted to be able to feel like I could be my whole self mm-hmm. and who I am freely without feeling the need to conform, feeling the need to fit in, feeling the need to be something other than what I was. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't feel that. You know, I didn't feel it naturally. Mm-hmm. And so I resisted it and I fought it. And there was a lot of arguments. You know, there's a lot of, this is the way I am. You have to accept me no matter what. Okay, this is it. You know, this is me right here. Or it was, okay, I'm not going to argue, but I'm not going to say what I really think. And I'm not going to show up as myself. I'm going to be
kind of like withholding.
Yeah, withholding, and keeping my voice
repressing.
Quiet. Repressing, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's okay. I'll be quiet. I'll fit in. I'll mm-hmm. do what I'm supposed to do. And so many of us do this in the world, okay? Like this, the...
Absolutely.
And to succeed in the world as it is a lot of the time, you know, you have to kind of conform to somebody else's expectations of you. And so those are my two options, the kind of very violent resistance of like, no, like here, over here, or like, oh, okay, fine, I'll do what you want. And it was in accepting that the codependency that existed in my family, that accepting that the dynamics as they were, that their opinions of me were what they were. I couldn't change that. That wasn't my job. I can't change somebody else. I couldn't change my family. I can't change their actions. I can't change their behaviors. I can only accept them. I can only, this is the reality of the situation. And then I said, oh, okay. What if I had to just stop fighting? But I didn't fall into the passive, this is okay, I'll do what you want. And I just let go. What if you just let go of the resistance? What happens in that space? You know, for me, I noticed my shoulders come down. You know, I notice my jaw relaxes a little bit. You know, when I just stop resisting, okay, doesn't mean I agree with what's happening. Doesn't mean I condone it. Certainly in terms of social justice in the world, it doesn't mean that I'm saying this is okay, but it's happening. Okay, what do I want to do about this? How do I want to be right now? Can I notice what's happening in me? Can I notice where the resistance is causing a very angsty, volatile energy?
Inside of you.
Inside of me, mm-hmm. as opposed to actually grounded spaciousness. Mm. So I don't know if that example helps, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. trying to give a little bit more context to what actually happens inside of us from that space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It makes me think about a long time ago, I was in a landmark education course, and there was a Black Brit on the screen, and he said, you know, the question is, who am I in the face of racism? And that was a novel idea for me, because I was so trained into how do we make systems change, speaking truth to power, you know, that kind of thing. And he was like, no, but who am I in the face of it? And keeping track of who am I being in my body, in my energy system, in the face of this thing. And as you said, there's a lot of power there. There's more, there's choice. And there's also, what is that called? Patterns, unconscious choice when you're just activated and you're just, the pattern has been set. Once again, the thing is being brought up to you.
I think, you know, this is something that's so prevalent in the world, right? I love what you're saying about power and agency and choice that comes from that place of acceptance and that comes from that place of deep grounding. Because a lot of the time we think change is something that happens outside of us. We think that it happens over with the activists or with the economists or with the politicians, that it happens in some policy document or it happens in some external place. And that is one aspect of change. Like, that is definitely an important aspect, but there is also this other piece that happens inside of us. And I think that we sometimes neglect or forget that piece. And if we haven't come to that place of recognizing the way systems live in us, mm-hmm. you know, the way capitalism lives in us, the way white supremacy lives in us, the way patriarchy lives in us, then we're likely to just reproduce it again in a different form because we haven't had that freedom. We haven't had that agency, that possibility that can come out of actually doing the inner work.
Hey, gorgeous, Aminata here, and I want to invite you to get an ancestor's guide for healing and liberation. It is a free download that I've prepared for our community to help you reconnect with your ancestors, to tap into their wisdom, their love, their guidance for you. So just go to my website, dramandakemp.com, free, and you will see the guide. Ancestors' Guide to Healing and Liberation.
But I was talking to Rosemary Reyes, an artist, and one of the things she said was, we have a responsibility to cultivate joy and to release struggle. She's like, if you live in struggle, if struggle is your mentality, then that's just what you keep producing in your life, you know? And so she's like, come on now, people, joy, beauty. And I'm on board with that. But I also, if I just scroll Instagram, you know, a little bit, you know, there's just all these calls to action, all these very disturbing images, situations of injustice, people crying out, wanting you to demonstrate your justice. How would you put those things together?
I mean, I love this question. It is such a big question. You know, I don't think it has to be bipartisan. Like, I want to say that. I do think love can be an incredible foundation for activism. But I think we have a very poor understanding a lot of the time of what love is and of what hope is and of what, you know, positivity in its best sense actually can be. You know, when I talk about hope, I often define hope as the willingness to live in a story that is not yet complete. And that is true. That is what we're all living in. The story of the world is not over. The story of our lives is not over. We have the potential all of the time, even when the opportunities or the options seem a little bit limited. That story is not yet done. So how can we start to recognize that? And what possibility does that open up within us? You know, when we're looking at love, I think, as a foundation for change making, I think we need to start to have a much deeper understanding of what accountability looks like and what accountability could look like without the paradigm of punishment or the paradigm of domination. You know, these are things that I think are very possible. We're just not skilled in. And so I think the work of our lives and the work of justice in these times is starting in our own lives, our own bodies, to experiment with these ideas. But I don't believe that our feeling bad can really take us someplace good just for the sake of it. I think we have such a beautiful short time on this earth. You know, there's Oliver Berkman book, the title 4,000 Weeks is the length of an average life. That is so short when you think about that.
Wow, 4,000 weeks, that's all we get.
Yeah, wow. 4,000 weeks.
And some of us don't get clearly.
Right? And so, like, we have to be thinking, well, how do I want to spend this beautiful, precious, finite time that I have? And if I can see a little bit more joy, a little bit more beauty, a little bit more love, then I think that's a beautiful thing.
Wow, that 4,000 weeks just caught me. The whole
right, because it's so
how short it is in reality. You know, I was listening to this person who had a near death experience, and what he came and basically based on this interview, I'm like, oh my God, dead is not bad. Dead is not bad. And also, I kind of feel, and I'm just going to be, this is what I know right now. This is not the truth, everybody. Okay. So with that caveat being said, okay, I'm thinking like, how interesting if death is not bad, if it's not the worst thing that could ever happen to you or to someone else, what does that change? That's a big thing. We usually think death is the worst thing that could happen to someone that we love or to someone who we don't know, but we don't want them to die because we're like, you know, that's the worst thing.
That is a liberatory question right there. And I really want to say that because like with that question, I immediately felt like this little bit of opening, this little bit of expansion because you're right, like, oh, okay, that's an interesting perspective.
What if it's not the worst thing? What if in fact, when we die, we get to, you know, have these experiences where we see where we went wrong or we have some regrets, but you know, we get to be welcomed by the ancestors. We get absorbed back into the oneness. You know, I feel like part of colonization has been the idea that you get one life and you blow it and you go to hell and you do good, or you do good as according to whoever the authorities are that define good, you get to go to heaven and you just stop evolving. That
is just endless.
Right. And isn't that like, that's also part of this binary framework. That's deep colonization. When you think that, you know, there's life or there's death, and after death, there's, you know, hell or heaven. That's deep colonization.
Mm.
And this whole idea of multiple lifetimes, of, you know, contracts, of multiple dimensions being lived simultaneously, this, I wonder how that would affect how we look at social justice, our time frame for it, who we see as victims, who we see as oppressors, how we see ourselves inside the stories that we're telling.
Well, I think, you know, it reminds me of something that I used to talk about when I first started kind of teaching around burnout for changemakers. You know, when I started this work, you know, I was working with a lot of people in the climate space. There was huge amounts of burnout and exhaustion, the same kind of thing we spoke about. Join a movement, get really engaged, and then within a year or so, burnout, exhaustion. And with that also came a sense of hopelessness, doomism, you know, what are we supposed to do? The powers are so big. And one of the things that I felt at the time that needed to be changed was that our work needed to be placed into a larger context, you know, into a larger tapestry of change, that it wasn't just our job to do all of the work. You know, it wasn't the weight of the world on our shoulders, but it was our job to do some of the work. It was our job to show up for the things that we felt called to show up for in the ways that we had capacity and energy and love to show up for. And so understanding, I think, that there will be, and when I say not just a larger tapestry, I mean a larger tapestry of lifetimes, right? There are ancestors for our movements who came long before us. You know, there are people who are yet to be born who are going to be continuing this work, because all of this work is a living embodiment. You know, it's not a one and done, fixed, rigid place that we reach. And this as a mindset is something that I think we so need to kind of unpack. You know, I think a lot of the time we're taught in life that if you follow the right steps, do the right thing, eventually you're going to reach this place. And this place, you know, it might be retirement, whatever it's called. It might be, you know, the top job, but you're going to be happy there. And it's the place, right? Same thing with heaven. You do the right things you're supposed to do in life, you're going to reach the place. The place doesn't exist, right? The place is only ever right here, right now. Mm. So how are we kind of recognizing of that and taking that, what I think is a lot of pressure as well, off of our shoulders, and like, well, no, how do I fit inside a tapestry? What's mine to weave? What's mine to seed? Right? That's where our energy lies. That's where we have to do the work, not in all of the places that the world is screaming at us that you need to do this and you need to do this and you need to do this. It's only ever right here. It's only ever in communion with our own hearts.
So, Laura, so you are in a white female body, right? Okay. So one of the things that in the, 2020, 2021, there was a lot of, and even now I see it, a lot of, how would I call it? I'm just going to call it what I see it. Condemnation, like, okay, white women need to do this, or, white women are like this. So, and you just said something about checking with your heart, your body, your system, where are you called? And then you have people say, well, you need to be over here, and when you're over here, you do this. So tell me how you dealt with that, or how you still deal with it, if it's what you're still dealing with.
Oh, gosh. It is actually something I'm still dealing with, even in the world as it is, in the last few months, I've had, emails and comments saying, you use this word over here and like, shouldn't use this, or somebody over here is saying, well, you're not talking about this and you should be talking about it. It is still very real. Mm-hmm. I think each of us, if we are committed to collective liberation, mm-hmm. has a responsibility to our own unlearning. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that is true. I think our unlearning will look different for everyone. And I do think it is unlearning, because we've all been born into this world. We've all been taught these various systems. And depending on our identity, we all have different perceptions and different internalizations of them. Mm-hmm. But this is the world that we're in. Mm-hmm. That is a responsibility that I think is also sacred in nature, and that I think is part of our own spiritual unfolding. Mm-hmm. But I think the more that we are able to connect with what is true for us, to connect with our bodies, to connect with our heart, to kind of drop into this moment, it is again that cognizance that while I am responsible for my own unlearning, I cannot be responsible for every action that I could possibly take in this world without burning out, right? Mm-hmm. I have to also honor myself in this. I have to honor my own boundaries, honor my own capacity, honor the places that I feel called to work, because so much in this world does need to change. Okay, we need we need racial justice, we need climate justice, but we need people also working with our food systems, working with our education, working, in accounting, and the legal spheres, like so many places. We can't do all of it. We can only do what we can do right now. And that's probably not going to be perfect or good enough for absolutely everyone. We should listen to those calls, and we should really consider in ourselves what truth they might hold, what wisdom they might hold. But then it's that cognizance there. Mm-hmm. I can do my work, but I can't do all of the work. Mm-hmm. I am a water baby. Anywhere that I am near the ocean, anywhere that I am near a lake, anywhere that I'm near a body of water, I have a spaciousness that can arise. I no longer feel the need to have to do everything. I think that's what it is. I think that's what it teaches me, that I can just be here. This is enough. Where we are is enough. And that from the enoughness, you will find what it is to do. It's not from the place of depletion and scarcity and urgency and hustle culture and, the trying desperately to fill the well of doing that will ever get there. The enoughness has to come first. And I think that's what nature teaches me.
That is profound. That is so timely right now in my own life work. That, I had a call the other day with my coach for my business. And she said, sometimes the only thing you know is that you're tired. You can't tell people when you will offer the next thing. because from tired, you really can't create. I mean, you could force something, but you cannot generate what is in the flow. So what you said about coming from depletion, you have to get to enoughness. And then, okay, where am I called? Where is the flow? Where is the energy now?
Yeah. And what are the conditions that we need to thrive as well? When we look at, if we were growing something in our garden and it wasn't growing, we would never look at it and be like, something wrong with you. Just try harder. Oh my God. Like the kale's doing fine. Why aren't you? Just push through, get it together. You would look instead to like the soil and the sunlight and the rain and the nutrients and all of these different dimensions that help something to naturally thrive when it has the right conditions. And this is the same for everything we're trying to do in this world. What are the conditions that we need for this to arise? Okay, because it won't be born out of anything else.
Mm. So, Laura, if people want to get in touch with you, if they want to, I don't know, follow these ideas a little bit more closely, how do you recommend they get in touch with you?
My website is laurahartley.com. I have a newsletter that goes out every week or ish, weekly-ish, that you can sign up to on there. My Instagram is at laura.h.hartley, and I'm also on LinkedIn if that's your space.
Mm, beautiful. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I've loved this conversation, so thank you.
All right, y'all. We'll see you on the next time. That is a wrap. It has been so good to be with you today, gorgeous. If you hear anything on this podcast that you think would help a friend or a family member, please pass it on and leave us a review. Leave us some stars. It helps us to know what is impacting people. I'm Aminata Desert Rose, Plant Walker, Fire Woman, and you are gorgeous. See you next time.